This is the Best of Interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Let's welcome in our first guest of the day as we broadcast from the NovaCare Complex. It's all part of Champ Camp, and obviously Cooper DeJean was an enormous part of helping to create the champ in Champ Camp, not just with his performance in Super Bowl 59, but what he put out there from, I guess it was around early October on, when he entered the Eagles lineup and made an enormous difference. And we welcome the Eagles star defensive back, Cooper DeJean. Cooper, good morning to you, bud.
Great morning. Appreciate you having me.
We appreciate you sitting down. How you feeling?
Fantastic. Fantastic. Ready for another day.
Good for you, man. How was the off season, Cooper?
It was good. Got to do a lot of cool things. Enjoy it a little bit. It's my first time off really since, I don't even know when, before my last season of college. So it was good to get a little time off, get back home, do some things, spend some time with friends and family. So it was good.
Have you, now you may not remember this, but I remember. When I say remember, you might not know I was there, but I was. I was there with you and Kelsey in that great event down at Seattle last month. Because you dominated this thing. You and Sidney Brown dominated this thing for round after round. But, you know where I'm going here? But you did not dominate when it was time to put a hammer to put it into a nail into a tree stump. Have you figured out how to put the freaking nail into the tree stump yet?
Yeah, I think I just needed to slow down and
you were really annoyed. You were really annoyed, weren't you?
I was really. That was really upsetting
understand.
For me.
It's just a nail and a hammer and a
not,
stump.
But it bent.
It seems like
something
you would be good at.
It went
involved,
crooked.
I think, too, yeah.
It's not as easy as it sounds.
It's not. It's really not. Well, beating Patrick Mahomes apparently was easier than the so let's go back here for a moment, because our first chance talking to Cooper since the Eagles, of course, won Super Bowl 59, and he had a play for the ages, Philadelphia sports history. Let's listen, as Marilyn Mike called it, Super Bowl 59, Cooper DeJean's pick six.
It is third and 16 for the Chiefs. Facing the staunchest defense of the season, back goes Mahomes. He's rushing, he's looking, it's intercepted! It's intercepted! Running with the football to the 25, down the far side is DeJean, and DeJean is in for a touchdown!
Happy birthday, Cooper DeJean!
Cooper DeJean with a pick for a touchdown!
Cooper, what was that moment like for you, man?
It was crazy. It feels like it happened so fast, but it was a really cool moment, not only for me, but for our team and where we were at in the game. It kind of opened the game up a little bit for us, going up 17-0 before halftime, and then I think we got another turnover right after that. But it was an awesome moment, something that I'll definitely remember for the rest of my life.
You had a huge part about choosing the winner of a Super Bowl as a rookie. Like, this is everyone else who's ever played in the NFL is so jealous. You did it your first time out. Where do you go from there? How do you stay focused on what's important when you won the whole thing, the shebang, your first year as a rookie?
Yeah, I mean, I want to play this game for a long time, and I don't want that play to define my career. I want to make more memories and more plays that help the team that I play for win games. So for me, it's just moving on from that moment while enjoying it, but moving on, and looking forward to what's next and how I can impact this team this year. Because we got a completely new team, a lot of guys coming back, but we got a lot of new guys too. So for me, it's about, moving on and how can I help this team? Because it's going to be different, in year two, and I'm going to have to be more of a vocal guy in our room, especially with the young DBs that we got. So it's going to be different this year, and I'm looking forward to the challenge.
Well, it sounds like from our perspective, very different in terms of you could be in different positions than we're accustomed to seeing you play. As a nickel on the outside, we've even heard, safety possibilities. How do you manage those expectations? How much are you looking forward to showing that versatility?
Yeah, I mean, I think ever since I got in here, they've they've told me to try and learn every position, in the back end, and that's what I've tried to do, since I got here. I got some reps at corner and in the spring, getting some reps at safety out here during camp, and then also playing nickel, but just trying to be ready, for wherever my number's called, no matter what position that is. But I know the coaches will put me in the right position for me to make an impact on this defense.
Which spot has it been the most so far of the three?
Which spot have I played the most?
Yeah, I mean, meaning at this camp, just a couple practices so far.
Nickel and safety. I've been the two that I've played the most so far this camp.
Do you have a preference?
I really don't. I understand, we got a lot of versatile guys. I'm a versatile player. So I like to play football. Whenever I'm out on the football field, no matter what position, I'm gonna go play football and try to play that position to the best of my ability. So no preference for me. I know the coaches will make the right decision.
How much do you compete with Quinyon Mitchell? Like, you guys came in same draft, same position to those of us looking from the outside. How natural is that? How often do you guys just face off in whatever you're doing?
we compete, but I feel like it's more us coaching each other back and forth in what we see on film with one another's tape.
So that's
the biggest thing for us, is just always, giving each other advice back and forth, things we see, things we can get better at. So it's been great to just be able to come in with a guy like him, who's always looking to get better, because I'm the same way. We want to be great players and great impact players for this defense and for this team. We're always looking forward to getting better, any way we can do that. So it's been great just to learn from him and be around him and be able to compete on the same field with him.
They say that the biggest jump improvement-wise for an NFL player is between year one and year two, just because things, nothing's a surprise, the second time out. Do you get a sense of that?
Yeah, I think you definitely have more confidence, going into year two than you did coming into year one. Year one, you really don't know what to expect, how things are going to shake out. But, coming into year two, you kind of got a feel for the schedule and how long the season is, so you're ready for all that, and we're in year two of our defense as well, so you kind of understand the ins and outs of that, and you're able to play more confident on the field.
You sort of didn't leave yourself a whole lot of room for improvement from our perspective. Your second year going in, do you set individual goals for yourself? Like, what do you plan to do with this season?
I mean, there's a lot, that I feel like I could have, a lot more I could have done last season, and this season I'm just trying to be better than I was last season. You always want to win, and be an impact player, and the biggest thing for me is doing my job to the best of my ability at a high level, and not beating. Being a weak link, to the defense, I think just continuing to grow as a player, continuing to work on my cover skills, is a big thing for me, because I feel like zone is my thing, but continuing to work on my coverage skills and playing man to man, has been a huge emphasis for me, after last season.
Cooper DeGene with us here on WIP. Eagles with another practice today that'll start in about 2 hours. Reminder, Nick Sirianni's press conference at 9:40 on the station. So a lot of Eagles coverage in addition to all the Phils talk today. Cooper, Vic Fangio, what is he like behind closed doors? The grizzled veteran defensive coordinator who's seen kind of all of it. What is he like with you guys?
He's a real old school coach. But he cracks some jokes every once in a while. He's funny. He's a funny guy. But he's pretty serious, and he loves ball. Loves to coach ball too. Which I love. No matter no matter what, he's always coaching someone, whether we're on the field or we're in the film room. And you know, we do, you know, group defensive meetings, which I think helps everybody on the defense, you know, a lot, because you get to understand, you know, what everybody's job is on the defense, and he holds everybody accountable, which is great, you know, for everybody to see and to hear in those meetings.
So Cooper, right away when training camp started, it seemed like from Nick on down, there was this sort of I don't want to say wash last year away, but not focus on it. The players that went through 2017 that are left, which are very few, Lane Johnson is one, Jake Elliott is one. The players that went through 2022 that are left, which are probably about 10 or 15, you know, really prominent players, mostly on offense. Do you hear from those guys? Are they as leaders setting the tempo of? Are they the ones saying we got to move on? Like the organization had success before and then struggled the next year. Are you hearing it primarily from the guys that went through it before? Are they telling that to you, the younger players and the new players?
I think it's understood, you know, from everybody, you know, in the building, you know, from our first meeting back, you know, Coach Sirianni talking about moving on, you know, to next season. The past is the past. We got a new journey to go on, a new mountain to climb. You know, so I think it's been understood, you know, with everybody. I don't think anybody has to talk about it or say anything about it. You know, it's understood within our locker room that we are moving on to this next season, and this is a new journey.
We've seen incredible highlight videos of you just dunking over people, doing all sorts of other sports. I'm really amazed at how big you are. I didn't expect you to be as you know, seriously sizable as you are. I mean, you're a cornerback, man, and anyway, that's great to see from my
I'll just say I wish the Sixers didn't have so many good guards. If they were,
yeah,
if
sure.
they were stocked at center or forward,
wouldn't that
I'd
be
say,
cool?
You know, but they do actually have three guards.
My co-host Joe is playing tennis tomorrow. We know that you're very well-rounded in all sports. Are you a tennis guy? Can you hold your own on a tennis court?
I'm a pickleball guy.
I haven't
got into tennis yet, but I've been playing.
So do you feel confident that you could dominate at tennis like you do in all these other sports?
I don't know. I'd need some practice.
Yeah,
I wouldn't go out there and just try and play without any practice.
Oh, sounds to me like I could beat Cooper tennis. All right. That's what I just heard. Hey Cooper, congrats on all you've accomplished. Obviously, good luck with the you know the season up ahead. City of Philadelphia is you know everyone's a big fan, man.
Are you guys in pads today?
Pads, I believe so.
Boy.
Look at that.
Yeah. Getting to hit people.
Look at that. Rhea Hughes is putting it right in her up there.
Oh, it totally went right in. I was, thank you, John. I appreciate that.
That is awesome. Are you excited to hit people?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't take anybody to the ground, but
yeah,
we can pop the pads a little bit. It'll be fun.
No thought in Saquon, though. You can't Derrick Henry him, man. I mean, come on.
Dump
that fool on his ass. Don't do that to Saquon. All right, Cooper, stay well, man. Stay healthy.
Appreciate
we look forward to seeing you play this year. Thanks, Cooper.
Thank you, guys.
Thank
All right, there he is, Eagle star defensive back Cooper DeGene.
Let's welcome in our next guest, Super Bowl champion, Eagles defensive lineman.
You know that boy,
Jordan
country right
Davis.
There.
Jordan, how are you, man?
Pretty good.
So, Jordan, all right, the first thing I got to ask you is you sit down, practice today, and I got to tell you, we got here our first day was, what, Wednesday we were here first day last week? And I'm over by the media tent, and I think Nick Sirianni is and Howie's about to speak, and Hugh comes over. He's like, you see Jordan Davis?
He looks like you. Why you not telling him I said it like that, though, man?
No, he said you look really good. You look
like he's slim.
Best shape of his life. So tell us, how you feeling, and how did you get to the shape you're in right now?
Feeling good. You know, it's all about claiming consistency, and I think probably in the later half of the year last year is when I really start to really emphasize that just doing the right things, eating the right things, fueling myself the right way, and doing everything the right way, you know. And it comes out. It pays dividends. I lost 26 pounds, and I'm in a comfortable spot in my weight. And everybody keep telling me I look good, so if the ladies like it, I love it.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. But, hey, as a reformed fat guy myself,
no doubt.
Number one, how tough has it been for you to stay consistent, and how have you changed your meals? I mean, how, like, for me, for instance, I try not to eat after 7 o'clock, and I try to eat, incorporate vegetables and stuff into every meal that I have, and you know my workouts and everything. So how has your diet changed?
I would say more so it's just cutting out the sweets, and
portion control. How tough is that being though, man?
It's really hard, but the greatest thing that I've been doing is telling people no. You know, anything is offered to me that's not in the best way. You know what I'm saying? It's okay to have a couple meals here and there, but my non-negotiables is no sweets, no added sugars, no nothing, no calories. I don't want to drink my calories, so everything that I do eat, I have to eat it. I can't drink, so it's just really been water and tea, and I think that's just been the best thing for me is just cutting out the sweets, honestly, because the sugar is in everything that we eat. You can get a bowl of grits and there's some sugar in it, so you know, it's just the hardest thing is just really like being aware and saying no. And you know, it's okay to miss out on the sweet stuff, because at the end of the day, the reward afterwards and how you feel afterwards is a lot greater.
So how did mom feel about that when you told her you can't eat all the sweets and stuff that she likes to cook for you?
Well, let me tell you, during the holidays, I'm usually the one cooking, so you know, it's been very easy for me. But you know, it's just really it's really a lifestyle change, and I think that's more so what I emphasize. I think the past, I've been doing it because of football. But my mindset has switched, and I'm doing this because of me. I want to be the best shape. I want to be in the best condition that I am. I want to be the best contribution to the team that I can be. And so when I changed my mindset about I'm not doing this for anybody, I'm not doing this for anybody but myself, that's when it really took off, and that's when I really claimed consistency.
So, Jordan, you mentioned mindset. I think it brings us right to now your role on the team this year, right? So you look the part. You look like you're ready to go. But now it feels like this is a year where the team is expecting a lot out of you. Milton Williams left, goes to the Patriots, a free agent. There's more snaps, it feels like, at defensive tackle than there has been your entire career. Your mindset as you go into a year where you realize the team is probably going to ask more of you for snaps and pass rush than they have before.
Definitely. And, you know, that's been communicated to me since last year. And knowing that, you know, when Milton goes off and he's going to get his big check and he's going to do great things with the Patriots, that is going to be a higher calling expected of me. I don't want to be that run stopper. I no longer want to be an anchor. I mean, of course I'm going to be an anchor. That's what I do, but I want to be more. And I think that, you know, with the greater with great power comes great responsibility. You know, you really have to take the bull by the horns. You really have to make sure that you're in the best shape of your life, because I'm not doing anybody but myself a disservice if I'm not in the best shape of my life. So it's just really about, you know, just doing it. It's just going out there and doing it. And just knowing that my calling is higher this year. And meeting the bull head on.
Was that more of how you felt about it going into the season with the season you had, or was that like Vic or one of your coaches asking you, you know, if you could change some things or do more? Was it kind of like that?
It was definitely me. You know, even like times during last year, like I wanted to be out there, you know, second and long, you know, third down. And eventually later on in the playoffs, they let me stay out there on the third downs and second and longs and stuff like that. And I made plays and had good production. But it's just all about, you know, I wanted to be out there and I wanted to make sure that I made plays. And, you know, whenever opportunity comes with it, I want to, you know, take advantage of that. And, you know, that's just being, you know, just to be the best player. And I think, you know, with Jalen Carter being out there, like, I mean, shoot, he's down there 100% of the play. So I want to make sure that I keep up, and I want to make sure that I'm contributing to the team just like he is. So when we play in tandem, man, I feel like it's going to be a great thing.
And I know it's not, I mean, just, you know, as a friend and, you know, like your mentor, you know that when you get them sacks, man, that's where that bread come from.
Definitely.
So, you know what I mean? You're trying to, you know, just that bread.
Well, you know, it's more so, it's just about, I'm just trying to win again. I'm just trying to win again.
No, I mean, that helps too, but, you know, that bread. You know,
I mean,
that bread too.
We'll talk about it later.
Yeah,
but
I know. I'm just saying. I'm just, you know. You ain't got to say it.
You need financial advice.
No, I'm just saying. You're trying to get that bread. It's on here.
Well, okay. Look, we just trying to get another ring, man. We got to do it one day at a time. And that's what we're doing exactly. And we're right on pace.
So a lot of talk so far in camp, and Nick Sirianni expressed this right away, that last year's over, right? Now we're on to this year. Does it help you and maybe your teammates from Georgia that's kind of what you did in college, right? Like, you didn't play at a school where winning wasn't the expectation. It was. You won at Georgia, and then you got back up, and you tried to win. Do you think it helps you that the program you played in college, every year the expectation is national title, and now here, 3 years, two Super Bowl trips, the expectation of all of us are Super Bowl again. Do you think it helps you that you played at that program mentality-wise?
Definitely. And that's one thing that I give credit to the Bama guys on offense, is that we had the same outlook and we had the same mindset on both sides. We got defense, Georgia, we got offense, Alabama, and, you know, the philosophies are the same. It's just different people telling it. And everything that you hear from Landon, hear from Jalen, hear from Smitty, hear from N'Kobe, hear from Jalen Carter, hear from me, is all going to be pretty much the same message, because that's what we know. That's the only thing we know. You know, when you go out there, we expect to win. We expect to win. Nobody plays this game. I don't care what team you're on. Nobody plays this game to lose. And so when we go out there, we want to make sure that we sync to our training, and we want to make sure that we're over-prepared so we're not nervous about the outcome. We want to be confident in ourselves, and at the end of the day, the work that we put in during the summer is going to translate to the season.
It feels like a weird question, but I got to ask. You feel like becoming one of the more veterans on the defense. Now, this is a young defense. A lot of young – I mean, guys, you've been here 3 years, but there's guys that are second-year or first-year players. Who stood out to you? Give us a young guy on defense that you feel is playing and really kind of leveling up this summer so far.
I'll say Keeley.
Okay. He's got a shot to play a lot this year.
He definitely has a shot. And, you know, I'm not being biased or anything, but love Keeley. You know, he's been putting in the work, and a lot of the work that he's been putting in behind the scenes, and it's just great to see it come to fruition. And of course, you know, he's going against the best during practice, so that's also helping sharpen his iron. And so when he goes out there and he makes plays, I feel really proud, because just to see the amount of work and the amount of dedication and time that he's put in already, and for him to go out there and, you know, just go out there and have the confidence in himself to go out there and ball, and you know, the sky's the limit for him. I mean, he's an amazing, talented player. He has all the measurables, and for him to go out there and, you know, go against the best, because I mean, shoot, AJ Brown, I consider one of the best in the league. So he's getting great competition every day, and I just can't wait to see him excel.
So what's the number for Jordan Davis this year? And remember, last time I asked you this, you had some numbers in your head. So this year, slim and trim, you know, getting ready for the season, Super Bowl champion. What's the number in your head this year for Jordan Davis?
I'll say one more than I had last year. I don't want to put any expectations. I don't want to put any numbers out there.
And be on the field on the money down.
Definitely, and be consistent.
What's Vic Fangio like year two now? The first year, you feel like you're getting to know him and trying to figure it out. Now you had a full year. You guys won the Super Bowl. Take us inside what it's like to be in a Vic Fangio meeting.
He's same way as he was last year. No nonsense. But I would say as the season went along, you start to see more and more of his personality and how he is as a person. And the way that he truly cares about this defense. He cares about this defense. He put his blood, sweat, and tears in this. And, you know, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. And we're not perfect. And he makes sure that he knows that we know that we're not perfect. But he's out there, and he wants us to claim consistency. He wants us to be the best defense on the field. So it's a continuation of last year, and I'm glad that we had a continuation with the coaches that we had last year, and Vic, and the players that we have now, and just to continue on this consistency run, because that's what it all about. It's all about consistency, consistency, consistency. We can't look too far in the future. We can't look too far in the past, but we can look at where we are right now.
Did it feel real today with the pads on, and then tomorrow full pads?
Woof, yeah. I tell you, it was a dog out there. It was a dog out there, and if you listen on the radio, stay cool because it's humid out here. But it feels good to be back in pads, though. It feels great to be back.
Well, it's fun watching. We're excited, Jordan. Congratulations again on last year. I know you're looking forward, but we're still celebrating. Congratulations on being a Super Bowl champion, and good luck this season.
Thank you.
There he goes. Jordan Davis with us there. Eagles defensive lineman. Welcome back. We're broadcasting from the Novigrad Complex, 94 WIP Champ Camp, driven by Forest River RV, by Camping World RV Sales Service, Parts and Accessories, Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillian. Joining us right now, a guy we spoke to right here in this same spot last year before a special season, Reed Blankenship.
What up?
Reed, how you doing, man?
Doing great, man. Living the dream, you know.
So I'm curious, who came up with the name Exciting Whites? I kind of like that, too. I like white wine,
by the city of Philadelphia.
They came up with the name?
They came up with it. I think it's been around when I first got here, because I've seen the picture. It's the wine selection.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, well, so, Hugh's a big wine guy.
Yeah, I like the whites.
So
like
it's
the white
exciting
wine.
Whites. And then obviously when Coop started playing, they just took it and ran with it and started calling us the Exciting Whites. So.
Well, it's stuck, and it's a fun one. So how was your offseason? I mean, you're a champion now.
You got married recently, right?
Just a month ago, week?
Yeah, July 5th.
Awesome. Congratulations.
One of the best decisions I've ever made. Hopefully she's listening right now. You know?
Yeah, get some bounty points.
Well, shout out there. That's a good one.
Shout out.
But I'm sure the offseason was what, now, how – take us through. Was it different because of everything that went along with – you're a Super Bowl champion. How close was it to your typical offseason? And also just the reality of you had a month extra of playing football. Uh-huh. How was your offseason different this year than maybe in years past?
I like to compare it to 22. A lot of us were here during that time. you kind of know, you learn from experience. Even though I didn't play a lot in 22, I kind of looked at the guys that were, you know, that started in front of me, like Marcus Epps and them, and when they started training. And, you know, you come home from here after the Super Bowl, and you're sitting around, and, you know, obviously you got friends across the league, and they've been training, you know, and you're like, man, like, when do I go back? You know, you're sitting there fighting with yourself, like, am I lazy? Am I not doing this right? But I think after the parade, I think a week or two, I started back. And, you know, it's just trying to get your body back in that routine. And once you start it, I mean, you can't let it go. So
my question is this, because last year we talked to you, you were still fairly young, mm-hmm. you know, at the safety position. Now you're the vet.
I know. It's
you're
crazy.
You're like the OG in the room. So tell me, how has that changed for you in such a short period of time?
I wouldn't say a lot of it has changed. You know, I try to pride myself in just being myself and mm-hmm. Allowing the guys that are rookies to be able to be vocal and to be able to be themselves. This is not a hostile environment, you know. That's not what I want to create in our room. And I'm glad I'm able to kind of take control of that. And, you know, we got the coaches in the room that allow me to do that and be the voice. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of something I've been waiting for. Have a lot of guys that, you know, I played with years prior, you know, like BG, Fletch, guys in our room, you know, Slay, CD, like all those guys, just watch how they lead and how vocal they were. You learn from experience, and you watch them, and I'm taking bits and pieces from their leadership into mine. So.
You mentioned Slay. When he left, or I think it was around that time he might have been leaving, but, you know, it was around that time of free agency. Mm-hmm. On his podcast, he mentioned you, like that you were the next leader mm-hmm. in the DB room. I don't know if you heard it when it happened, or now you're hearing me say it. What does that mean to you that, like, Slay's one of those vets that everyone respects around the league, that
right.
he pointed you out as the next leader? Mm-hmm.
You know, it means a lot, especially, like, I looked up to Slay a lot, especially when I was a rookie. He was one of those dudes that created that environment that allowed me just to be myself. And, you know, you have role models and guys that's been in the league for years that's like that. Because prior, you know, in college you hear about the, you know, you're just going to – the DB room is going to be tough. You know, it's going to be tough on you here and there. But it was never like that, you know. And like I said, Slay had a huge part in that. And it meant a lot to me when he said that. I know me and Slay, we're tight and – you know, we have talks here and there, but, you know, I hope he's doing great right now.
All right, take us through today. I mean, you guys.
It was hot, man.
Full pads, hot. And you guys, you had two out there 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I saw a couple of videos. I saw it when I was out there myself. Looked like you were delivering some thuds out there. What was it like to play some real football again with pads on?
Oh, it's great. You know, you can play the underwear Olympics all you want, but once the pads come on, it's different. You know, it's real football. I know Saquon, he's one of those guys that you're going to hear a lot. He was talking to us a lot today. But yeah, it was one of those hot ones. I mean, that's training camp for you. And, you know, we say it's hot every year like this, but it is what it is. It builds character, you know. So
the other safety spot next to you, it feels like there's a lot of guys there that are trying to get their feet wet and trying to find their role. And we're not sure. I'm not sure if you're sure who's going to be lining up next to you game one against the Cowboys. How's that been going, trying to communicate and trying to understand where everyone is? Because you have to, yeah, that's important for you to know where your other safety is
right.
next to you. How's that going as you try to learn them, they try to learn you?
Yeah, you know, I tell them that I'm not going to try and change a lot of who I am. I want them to be able to adapt to me. And like I said, I'm going to try and be as vocal as I can. I'm going to try to help them out on the back end. But, you know, at times, you know, bullets start flying, it gets hot, it's hard for me to communicate across the field. And, you know, they're all doing a great job, man. And the best thing about it is they're asking the right questions. And, you know, the rookies especially, you know, they're asking the high-level questions. And we're so much farther along than we were, you know, in OTAs especially. You know, Sydney's doing a great job. Drew's doing a great job. Like, everybody that's been rotating in has been doing a great job. And, you know, it speaks volumes to our room and how we work together and how we compete together.
Eagle safety, Reed Blankenship with us.
You know, Reed, talk to me a little bit about the growth of Cooper DeJean mm-hmm. and his versatility, because, man, saw him out there playing safety first couple mm-hmm. couple practices. I mean, he's just a straight-out athlete.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about him, man, and what he could potentially bring to the table.
Yeah, you know, he, like you said, he's a great athlete, and you want some of your best athletes on the field at all times. And it doesn't feel like he's in his second year. You know, it feels like he's in his fifth or sixth year, and he's only 22. You know, the sky's the limit for him, and, you know, he's already ranked in number 60 in the league. You know, that speaks
bad.
Volume, you know.
Yeah,
that's great,
not bad.
But the good thing about it is he's very humble. he's always like he's one of those guys always asking questions, always just in tune with football and just trying to be the best football player possible, you know. And you know, that's what I like about him. And we're in contact every day. We work good off each other, and that's what you need. So
is there something to it? Feels like your interceptions in your career have been clutch interceptions, if that's even a thing that people talk about. Like, they seem like they happen at huge moments. The Saints game, Packers game, Commanders game a couple years ago, the one off of Rodgers to start your career in 22. Is there something about those moments where you kind of level up? Is it right place, right time? How have you been able to make those plays in big, like less than 2 minutes to go in the game to kind of finish these wins here?
Well, if you look back at it, I mean, especially go back to the Saints game, I mean, our D-line was in Derek Carr's face. You know, it's hard to play quarterback when you got guys in your face like that. And, you know, it started up front and then good coverage with everybody else. And then I was, like I said, right place, right time. And it's all about just knowing who you're playing with and knowing that the guys are going to get their job done. So I just do mine and I have to worry.
So this is year two under Vic Fangio. Mm-hmm. Has he added more? Because I know you have a lot of different pieces on defense. So there's that element of, hey, this is year two in the system, mm-hmm. but also all these new guys are now around you. Mm-hmm. What's the defense like? Compare where you were a year ago to where you are now, understanding and all the stuff he's put in here.
Oh, I think we're already on that, like I said, that PhD type level now. Me and Zach's having conversations that we were having later in the year, you know, once we got more comfortable with the system, and we were having them in OTAs at the time. And it's just like we're starting to pick up like different route concepts of how we can play this, how we can, you know, disguise it a little bit better, be in the right place, right time. And you know, not just Zach, you know, you got Cooper especially too. Like we're talking across the field when we're playing. He's playing nickel, I'm to the boundary. And you know, especially corners, like Q's doing a great job. Like he's understanding the game, and once you got players like that to understand the game, I mean, the sky's the limit, you know. So,
Reed, was there a moment last year started to click? I mean, you guys first month of the season, it was choppy on defense, right? Then
right.
All of a sudden, you come out of that bye, Cleveland, and it just started to roll. Was there a moment, because you've played on two great teams now in a few years in the league? Was there a moment you started to say, "Hey, it's clicking a little bit here"?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like every game. You ask somebody else, they'll probably say some part in the season was clicking. But I feel like each game had its own challenges, and it just felt like we wanted to be as dominant as we could. And if we weren't, we just held ourselves accountable, and it just felt like we weren't playing up to par sometimes. You know, and it's crazy to think because, you know, we were ranked so high here and there, but it's just like we want to be better in a lot of those areas if we can. So.
Well, by the end, you were dominant. Mm-hmm. What was it like to do that to the Chiefs? I mean, that had to feel...
Yeah, I was about to ask you that.
That had to feel special. I mean,
it did.
Because it's rare. I mean, since Mahomes became their quarterback, they lose by double digits so rarely. And to do it... What did it feel like out there when you guys felt like you were in control of that game?
I mean, it felt great. Whoever we were playing, I mean, if we beat somebody like that, you're going to feel as dominant as you can. And at the end of the day, we're just having fun. You know, one of the most crucial times, you know, the biggest stage of your life, you're there and you're relaxed and you're having fun. I mean, you can't ask for a better experience. So all I can say is we were having fun out there even the week we were here practicing in the link and just had pads on. It's like, man, this is our last game, but who cares? Let's don't stop here. Let's win it all. You know?
Well, you did by dominating the Chiefs. Reed, we appreciate you hopping on.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Congratulations again, and good luck this season,
yep,
Reed.
Appreciate y'all.
There he goes. Reed Blankenship, Eagles safety. Welcome back, Champ Camp. Midday show live at Eagles training camp. Practice just ended. And joining us right now is Eagles tight end, Super Bowl champion,
Super Bowl
Dallas
champ.
Goddard. Dallas, how does it feel when you hear that?
That's pretty cool. Hearing the Super Bowl champions got a nice little ring to it. But, you know, we're on to the next year. Hopefully we can put another good one together.
You know, with that being said, Dallas, I know you had an odd offseason, if you will. So tell me, what was it like knowing that there was a potential? I mean, it's not now, but there was potential that you weren't going to be here. How did you handle that this offseason?
Yeah, I just kept going about my business, getting the body feeling right for whatever was going to happen. You know, it was emotional. You went with the sadness of leaving, the excitement of going to a new city and doing all that, and then, you know, right back to the sadness. But I was really happy that we were able to work out a deal, come back, and be with all my brothers and everybody in the building that I got so much love and respect for.
What is it like to be in that scenario you were in this offseason? Because I was curious how much you are aware of the rumors out there, what we're talking about. Like, every day it seemed like, he's gone. Oh, he's going to come back. Or maybe the Eagles are going to trade Goddard. But then you ended up back here. Is it a day-to-day thing? Do you try to disconnect and have your agent say, tell me what's going on? Like, what was it like for you, the day-to-day, month-to-month roller coaster before you knew you were going to be back here?
Yeah, it, like you said, it was definitely a roller coaster of emotions. I just try to leave it to my agent. He would call me and tell me something was going to happen, then it didn't happen. So, you know, I just waited up until something was set in stone before I believed anything. And, you know, I was an Eagle until I wasn't. I was still under contract, just restructured, so I never got cut, released, anything like that. So I've always been an Eagle. But, yeah, it was just – when something happens, I was just going to accept my fate and move on and do whatever I had to do.
Well, we're happy you're back here, Dallas. It's been a good run, a really good run in an Eagles uniform. Been in two Super Bowls, won the one last year. Now, like you said, looking forward to this year. Let's talk about this camp so far. And once again, you've gone through this a lot. New play caller. Now it's Kevin Petullo, who's been with you guys for a while. How's camp so far? And now with Kevin Petullo, the guy running the offense.
Yeah, camp's been great so far. You know, we're getting really good work. You know, going to the meeting room, cleaning stuff up. You see a lot of positives out there, and that's what you should expect with an offense that's been together for so long. But, you know, I'm really excited for Kevin, for his opportunity. You know, he's waited a long time for this. He's seen a lot of good coordinators, been able to learn under some good guys, and what he's been doing for the offense, the little tweaks, the little changes, how he's calling it at practice. You know, it looks really good, but you never fully know until that first game, but I'm expecting big things from him. I think our offense is going to be in a really good position with him calling the plays.
You know what? Speaking of that, and we know how this offense ran last year with, you know, we ran the ball a lot. Now we got A.J. Dillon, you know. And I know it's only been a couple days that we've been in training camp and all this other stuff, but has this offense changed at all? Or is it still kind of going to be centered around the running game?
You know, it's hard to tell. I think the biggest positive about our offense is that we can win in any ways. You know, mm-hmm. we ran the ball so much this season, had so much success in that. We got to the Super Bowl and we didn't run the ball very well, but Jalen stepped up and passed the ball. So if the defense is going to give us looks, you know, the offensive line, the big boys up front, they love run blocking. They love doing all that. You know, A.J. Schmitty are so selfless on the outside that they're willing to lose a couple targets to win games. So it really depends on how the defense is going to stop us. If they're going to load the box and try to stop Saquon, we'll attack them through the air. If they want to double A.J., double Schmitty, you know, we'll hand the ball out to Saquon and let him do what he did last year.
You know what, speaking of that, I don't know how the conversation went, but was that somewhat of an adjustment for guys, especially when you know you're coming from an offense that – before Saquon got here, you know, the ball got spread around a little bit. So was that somewhat of an adjustment for everybody?
You know, there's always adjustments throughout the year. It was cool. AJ always talked about you don't know how many opportunities you're going to get. You don't know when the next one's going to be. So make the most of it. I think I saw something that he had the most broken tackles when he was covered one-on-one or something. So he lived that, and he tried to preach it to me and Schmitty, and just take advantage of the opportunities you're going to get, because it's special. When you got an O-line, you got a special running back like Saquon, you got a quarterback that can hold the edge so well with Jalen, and then, you know, when the opportunity is called, it seems like we make the plays more often than not.
Was there a moment last year, we're talking to Dallas Goedert here at Eagles training camp, where you started to feel like the team could be special? I know you always think maybe the start of the year training camp, like we got a good team, but last year was choppy, right? You start 2-2. You made the big play in New Orleans to get a win there, but 2-2, and then October hit, and you guys seemed to hit a different stride. Then November hit a different stride. Was there a moment for you, a time period of the season, where you started to think, hey, we got a chance here to do some big things?
Yeah. You know, it kind of felt the same as it did back in 2022 when we went to the Super Bowl. In training camp that year, I remember putting my arm around Miles and us being like, man, I think we got a really good team. And, you know, we traded for AJ that offseason, and that was kind of the time. You know, that was kind of a missing piece that we needed, and it really helped us that year. And I think it was the same thing. Once we traded for Saquon last year, and then we saw him out here at training camp, what he was able to do, how good he still looked, I think it was early on. You know, the season was a little rough, and we just kept saying, you know, that's the preseason. The first 4 weeks, you're just trying to gel as a team, trying to figure out what's going to work for you that year. And but, yeah, it was really early on that I knew we had a chance to be really special.
Dallas, I'm going to take you back to the Super Bowl because I'm curious about this. Because going into that game, everybody talked about Kansas City and how good they are and all this other good stuff. But at what point in that game did you realize, like, man, we are kicking y'all ass. Like, y'all can't really do nothing with us. At what point did you feel like this was about to be a old-fashioned ass whooping?
Yeah, I mean, it was early. We had a lot of positive vibes. We had a lot of pain going into it from the Super Bowl a couple years ago. So I had good expectations. The way the game went, you know, after it was probably after Zach Bond's pick right before halftime. But, you know, we were up 10 on them the first Super Bowl, and they were able to come back and win that game. So everybody was still so locked in that whole game up until the starters got pulled. You know, it was we were all going to make sure that didn't happen again.
Dallas Goedert with us here. All right, Hugh brought up the Super Bowl and the playoffs. You have been one of the best tight ends in the playoffs in terms of statistics, really in the history of the NFL, and you've got a chance to play in a lot of playoff games because the Eagles have been really good since you got here.
Mm-hmm.
What is it for you? Like, to take us inside your mentality in those big games, I think back to the big play against the Packers last year where you stiff-armed the D-back off you. Feels like big games, playoffs, Super Bowl, Dallas Goedert, we always count on you to make a lot of big catches. Is it a different mentality? Is it opportunity? What's it been like for you? Why have you been so good in those big moments?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything. You know, in the playoffs, it's win or go home. And so, you know, everybody wants to say they raised their game. But it's just like always, you know, when I get the opportunity, I want to make it. We play for an incredible city. And, you know, once playoff come around, I never want to be that guy that loses a game, loses in the season, because I'm not going to have that on my shoulders all off season. So I just go out there and try to make plays, try to have fun doing it. And, you know, ultimately we play this game for the playoffs to keep advancing, to get that next game. And, you know, I just love it so much. I want to stay out there.
What are you noticing with Jalen Hurts so far in camp? I mean, he's established now as one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. And you mentioned he played so well in the title game, Super Bowl. But, you know, everyone's always watching Jalen and how he's playing. What have you noticed with Jalen so far as he goes into, like, a new stage of his career now as a Super Bowl MVP?
Yeah, he looks good. You know, something that's so special about Jalen is he's always so locked into the moment. You know, like he said, he didn't even put on the Super Bowl ring because he's this year. I think it was the next week after the Super Bowl, he was already training for this year. Just because that man can't stop. He's got so much passion, so much competitiveness, and just wants to continue to get better. But just the command that he has in the offense, making checks at the line of scrimmage, adjusting the pass protection. He just keeps taking that next step, learning the game. Everything slows down for him. And, you know, I think it's just he's just going to continue to get better just because that's the type of person he is, how much effort he puts into, you know, just continually raising the bar.
Pads today, full pads tomorrow. Does it feel real now? You guys are fully back with the pads on?
Yeah, it definitely feels real. Once these pads go on, you hear a little bit popping, a little bit more trash talk. You know, it's what we wait all season for. That's the worst part about football is the off season so long. So it's really exciting getting the pads back on. Got a big week of pads, so it's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, I'm excited to see the young guys continue to grow and just continue to work on our detail.
What's it been like watching Nick Sirianni grow as a coach? I mean, when he came in here, you know, he wasn't a big name, like one of the hot coordinators. So we had to get to know him. And then you guys have had a ton of success. But I thought last year was clearly the best job he did. I mean, to kind of change things in the middle of the season, to go on the run. What's it been like for you watching him not just grow as a coach, but a leader too?
Yeah, you know, ever since day one, it seems like he's been the same person every day. Whether things are going good, going bad, he stays positive, and he just trusts so much in what he believes in. The details, the toughness, the effort that we play with. And, you know, ever since he's been here, he's held us all to a really high standard. But he does a great job of keeping us all locked in, paying attention to the right things, and he holds us accountable, whether it's good or bad, which I really respect. You know, he's not just yelling at you if it's bad. He's letting you know if it's good. And, you know, I think everybody out here wants to play for him, and that's the most important part with the head coach.
All right, we got to get your take on this before we let you go. We were just arguing about this before you came in. Now, by the time this happens here, your career is probably towards the end, if not over. But the Eagles sent out a survey to fans about the idea of a new stadium down the line and maybe having a retractable roof or a dome. Where do you come down on the domes? I love the elements of playing outside and as a fan watching, like the snow game in the playoffs. I got Hugh over here who's talking about, you know, being warm in a dome. Where do you come down? Domes, retractable roofs, you played across the league so you know what they're like. If Dallas Goedert could choose, what kind of stadium would it be?
I'm all about that outdoor. You know, I played from South Dakota, played at South Dakota State with an outdoor stadium in the cold. You know, playing the snow game up here last year against the Rams was an incredible experience. You know, I feel like it just – football is meant to be played outside, man. Basketball is an inside sport. Football is meant to be played outside.
See, thank you.
Whatever.
Finally, we get some sanity back on the show.
Whatever,
a football guy.
I ain't trying to hear that.
Yeah, he's not a football guy anymore. We took that card away. Dallas, we appreciate you hopping in here. And good luck this season. Well, Rooney, congratulations again on the Super Bowl. Thanks, Dallas.
Appreciate it. Go Birds.
There he goes. Dallas Goedert with us. Jalix Hunt, who came on last year and played a big role in the Eagles' defense as they went down the stretch to become Super Bowl champions. And now Jalix Hunt entering year two in the NFL, about to sit down with us on the Midday Show. Jalix Hunt, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. So I'm going straight to the Super Bowl, Jalix, because at what point in that game did you feel like they couldn't block you? Because they looked like they couldn't block you. So at what point did you feel like hey, I'm about to work this cat like a shift?
I mean, it was really just the confidence I had in how we prepared in the room.
Mm-hmm.
That was Coach Coach Fangio.
Oh, you had a flash. I want that. The flashback. Because you when you laughed, you had a flashback.
You saw that in his eyes?
I need the flashback. What did he say to you in that moment that you knew that today was going to be your day?
Man, he said he trusted us completely. We didn't blitz any, and he said it was going to be on us. You know, Mahomes is such a dynamic quarterback, and he can make plays on his feet in the air with his arm. So we needed as much defense as we could on the back end. So he told us it was up to us. So the amount of work we put in on just diagnosing the tackles, the centers, the guards, where Mahomes escapes out of the pocket, everything. When we went into the game, it was just a matter of time, like when we were going to dominate. It wasn't really a question of if we were.
You cleaned that up a little bit, though.
That was our mindset.
you clean that up, though.
We appreciate it's cool. That, but it's a good, great story.
But no, you can tell. It was way more to that. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to ask no more, but I know it was way more to that story than what you just told.
My story, I'm sticking to it.
So take us through what it's like for you year one to two. I mean, what a year, right? You come in and, you know, we didn't know what to expect, right? You're not a first-round pick, but by the end of the season, you're playing a lot, and you're playing a big role. And take us through your mindset. Like, where are you now in terms of understanding this defense compared to where you were last year? How much have you grown in your mental state with this defense compared to what we talked to a year ago?
Just being a professional, honestly. I talk to BG a lot. I talk to Sweat a lot. Just anybody in the room, anybody in the building who could give me any tips about just being a professional and how to progress my game into the next level. So,
Don't worry about it.
This year, I just been approaching the game, asking a lot more questions, being a lot more comfortable in my role, and I've learned so much. And, dag, it sucks that BG's not here, but, you know, if I ever need to text him, I can. He always talks about carrying yourself as a professional. So last year I came in here, I told y'all I was a little bit nervous. I just wanted to find my footing. BG sat me down and told me it doesn't matter where you were drafted. It doesn't matter if you were drafted. If you were UDFA, it doesn't matter. You're a professional. You're on this team. And you can't look at it as this is your developmental year. You're a professional. Act like it. So that snapped me into the mindset that I'm carrying on throughout the rest of my career. Is I'm a professional. I need to play like it. So just my attention to detail, the questions I'm asking, how I'm trying to lead the rookies that are in or anybody, I'm giving them the same advice that was given to me as last year when I came in. So that's really been my progression from year one to two so far.
What does it feel like? What feeling do you get considering the offseason, what the team did? They're relying on you more than probably a year ago, right? You look at the depth chart last year, and BG was here, you mentioned. Sweat was here. Some veterans. Now, BG retired. Sweat was left in free agency. And, look, the team could have drafted another high-edge player. They could have signed one. They did sign some guys, but they could have signed one on the first day of free agency. They could have traded for one. There's big names out there. They didn't. What does it mean to you that it feels like they're relying on you a lot this season?
It means a lot. It means that they trust us. Me, Nolan, O'Shawn was here at the end of last year, and he's going into this year as well. But everybody they brought into the room as well. I mean, they've been guys on the teams that they play in. They get sacks, they get to the quarterback. So it shows that they wanted a new group of DNs. And, I'm so grateful that they wanted to go with me and Nolan and bring in some guys that are fast, can rush. I love to get to the quarterback and have so much in their arsenal already. But we're all young. I don't think anybody's over. Double O is 8 years in, I think. But we just got him. So he's been a great addition. But everybody else is year five at the most.
Who's the voice right now? Is it, I mean, we just had Reed in here. Reed's one of the oldest guys on your defense.
Yeah, and that's not that old.
That's not that old. And, I mean, is it Zach? Like, who's – do you have a vocal leader? Is that emerging? What is it like to play on a defense that's all super young?
It's cool because we're all peers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like we have somebody who's been in the league 15 years like BG was, and you kind of just, oh, that's BG. Like, you approach him differently. It's a lot easier because I know not being as close to BG, it can seem a little bit intimidating talking to him, but everybody's so close in age. A lot of them went to Georgia, so they know each other.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we all connect on just how tough we are, how much we love to play defense and fly around. So whoever needs to be the vocal leader in that moment steps up. Zach, N'Kobe, you know, it's often one of those linebacker roles because – how our linebackers play and how Vic Fangio likes his linebackers to play is all over the field. So when you can impact the game like that, you just naturally fall into that role. So it's usually a linebacker, but like Reed, Coop can step up. It doesn't matter. Adore, he just got here, but he's a vet at the corner position. So it really means whoever needs to step up, whoever needs to say something, we'll hold each other accountable and we'll say something.
So how's that been for you? Because you hit on something that I think is very important, the fact that, you know, BG was a little bit older, so his time was a little bit different because, you know, he's a family man. But the fact that all of you guys are fairly the same age and you kind of get the fellowship a little bit more than you did with BG. How's that changed for you this year, knowing that basically all you guys are about the same age and y'all can hang out?
We hung out a lot last year, too. But this year, we joke around. We bid. A lot of our jokes are based on things that we already know about. We hop on the game with each other. We're always shadow boxing, offense, defense.
Mm-hmm.
It just means it's like they're like a lot more like brothers instead of like almost like mentors. Like BG was more so of a mentor, but now they're like brothers. And you can talk to your brother a little bit differently than you can to a mentor.
Yeah,
If I need to get on you, I can get on you. But you know it's not from a place of I'm trying to talk down or disrespect you or anything like that. It's more so of we have a standard to uphold. We have a goal to accomplish. And you're my brother, and I expect better than you, better of you.
Did it feel real today with the full pads on? Is this now – are we back now? Is this real football with the full pads
on?
Man,
we've been in full football mode since whenever OTA started, honestly. That second little off-season break or whatever you want to call it, I've been so locked in. I've been just learning, but – it for sure physically feels like football season.
Yeah,
definitely
hot,
a hot day like this today. Got to get in, got to get that water, rehydrate and everything. But, yeah, we're in full swing right now.
What's it like for you going up every day against Jordan Mailata and Lane Johnson? And be honest, cool. You getting the best of them and you start to win those battles?
Man, I'm learning a lot more each rep. Jeez. I'm so confident in knowing that if I can – get a rush on Jordan Mailata or Lane Johnson, I think I can get a rush on anybody in the world. These are some of the best tackles in the league, if not the best tackles in the league. So just being able to pick their brains, I almost got you there. What made you take that extra step? What made you stop your feet? What do you think can work on you? Why do you shoot your outside hand instead of your inside hand? Why do you shoot your inside hand instead of your outside hand? Like what is the patience? Just being able to break down how they set and how I can attack that set, man, I just learn each and every rep.
Well, that's great stuff. Jalex, man, congratulations again on last year. Good luck this year.
Thank
We're
you,
rooting
man.
For you. Expecting big things. Jalex Hunt,
appreciate
Eagles
you,
Edge with
appreciate
us, heading you. To his second year.
Have a good one, man.
There he goes. Jalex Hunt with us. Yes, it is that time of the week, a Fransky Friday on the Midday Show, sponsored by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. The trade deadline is in the books. Harrison Bader of Philly shortly after. We had Scott on the show yesterday. Let's react to it all. Scott Fransky with us right now. Hey, Scott.
Scott.
How we doing, fellas?
Pretty good, pretty good. So, Scott, overall, how did you feel about the day that the Phillies had yesterday?
I mean, I thought it was okay. I maybe there's some bigger bats out there. I don't know. I don't know how I would assume they probably made offers, overtures to Cleveland about Stephen Kwan, although, you know, he's not – maybe not the exact profile of what they were looking for, but I would assume they probably made overtures. I mean, you know, they got what they were looking for, and that's a right-handed bat who can play the outfield. And he plays it very, very well, which gives them some options for whether they want to use him in center or left. I understand it's not earth-shattering in terms of, you know, you're not getting a 30-homer guy, but that guy wasn't available, you know. Beyond Suarez, that one guy wasn't available.
Well, that's true. There was only one of those guys. There's a power on the market. Scott, your thought on Bader after calling him and seeing him over the years when he's come and played the Phillies, and he was a Cardinal, Yankee, Met, now a Twin. This is probably one of his better years. In the playoffs few years ago, he had a big run with the Yankees. I've always liked him as a player, and now it feels like maybe there's some more power than used to be there.
Yeah, I guess from what I've been reading is, you know, his bat speed's up a little bit. He changed some stuff with his conditioning last offseason, and he's had a really good year. So he's always had a lot of tools, a lot of ability. You know, obviously was a more of a platoon-type player in recent seasons, but this year, you know, split-wise, he can play against righties and lefties. And I kind of think they're going to do that. I kind of think he's going to start in center field. And I think he's going to get most of the time in center field. I guess we'll find out today when, you know, Rob Thompson talks more about it and they make all the roster moves that they're going to make. But that's kind of what I feel like they're going to do with him, at least at the outset, and see what that looks like.
Scott, if you had to guess, and we'll start to see it tonight, where do you think he would slot in the lineup? He's the kind of player where you could squint and put him almost in any spot, but then it doesn't feel like he really fits into any particular spot. You know, maybe he just ends up six or seven because that's just where they put him, but he's righty. They have some other righties around that part of the order. He's hitting for more power, but that's not what he always was. If you had a guess, where do you think he might slot into a regular lineup if he's playing a lot in center?
You know, if he's playing a lot and he's doing well, I could see him hitting as high as five. I mean, honestly, if he's really hitting well, I mean, his I mean, let's be honest, his slugging percentage numbers beat some of the guys on the roster right now, a lot of the guys on the roster. So could he hit fourth? I don't know. Maybe if he's really swinging a hot bat. But I would say anywhere from four to seven is probably where we would likely see him, depending on, you know, who the pitcher is that day, what the matchups might look like. You know, whether JT's in there or not or Marchand is makes a difference. And, you know, which righties and lefties start. So I think he could be anywhere in that four to seven range.
Scott, the other part of the deadline isn't just what the Phillies do, it's what everyone else does, and now how they stack up across the National League. What was your reaction to what the other NL teams did, and specifically the Padres? I mean, they're the story of the deadline. They put all their chips in the middle, including a trade late yesterday where they get Laureano and O'Hearn from the Orioles. What did you make of what the Padres did as they try to get over the hump? I mean, they've been in the race, you know, for three, 4 years now, just like the Phillies, but they're trying to really get over the hump this time.
Yeah, I mean, they are. Their pitching's been good. They obviously need some offensive help. You know, I mean, Ramon Laureano, he's, again, a good player, having a good year, but is he much different than Harrison Bader? I don't think so. To me, he's the same. He's about the same acquisition, to be honest with you. Is a guy who really kind of got cast aside by a few different organizations in recent years. He's got a very similar profile to Bader. I'll say that. O'Hearn, you know, breakout year, hasn't hit as well after the first 2 months of the season. You know, I know when we saw him, they were playing a rise at first base a lot. Maybe they move him off of first. Maybe he DHs. Maybe O'Hearn DHs and Arise stays at first. I don't know exactly what they're going to do with everything. You know, A.J. Preller, he's not afraid to trade his prospects away. They wouldn't need Ramon Laureano if they had James Wood. You know, I mean, that's one thing. They wouldn't have had to make the deal if they hadn't traded away all those prospects years ago. So sometimes it comes back to bite you, sometimes not.
Well, that's for sure. And they did a few years ago to get Soto, and now Wood is one of the best players in baseball. They traded a lot of prospects away, and maybe the one they traded yesterday for Miller turns out to be one of those guys. Scott Fransky with us here, talking Phillies trade deadline. And, Scott, it's interesting because right after the deadline, they get quite the test and, you know, potentially a World Series preview. Tigers in tonight. It's going to be a fun weekend here. Just, you know, Wall of Fame tonight, Jimmy Rollins and Ed Wade, and also a series that's going to just feel big considering two of the best teams in baseball and both teams trying to win the World Series. It's going to be a fun weekend here.
Yeah, it should be. Always is with alumni weekend. It wasn't always the case when the Tigers would come to town. They're obviously a different club these days. And, you know, the pitching matchup tomorrow with Scooble and Wheeler, that's must-see kind of stuff. And, I think it's a test. I think they're all tests in a way. I mean, obviously the Phillies have played 500 balls since June 1st. The Mets have played one game over 500 since June 1st. one game over, I think. So that's the half game difference. They were tied back then. So it's kind of now a sprint to see who gets to the finish line to win the East. And they're all big. All these series are big.
You know, Scott, I know you weren't here when J-Roll was here, but he's going into the Hall of Fame tonight. What do you remember about J-Roll?
I saw a few of J-Roll's games.
I know you did, but, I was saying you didn't call him. But what do you remember about J-Roll as a player?
We always used to say the Phillies go as J-Roll goes. I mean, what he did at the top of the lineup was – you know, obviously the numbers kind of speak for themselves, but there was a certain energy that he brought. There was a certain swagger he brought. There was a certain that swagger gave the team validity, I think, at a certain point in time when they were trying to find out who they were and what they were going to be and when they were sort of blossoming as young players. And I think Jimmy brought that swagger, you know, long before he was an established star. Mm-hmm. But he, that confidence that he had, I think it permeated throughout the clubhouse. And, you know, Jimmy wasn't the most vocal leader. He was vocal. Wasn't the most vocal leader, but I think what he did was he showed everybody that they belonged, among the conversation, amongst the best in baseball in that 06, 07 range before they, you know, had their run in 08. So, and the other thing about Jimmy is what he did defensively. I don't think you truly appreciate it till it's gone. Mm-hmm. Yes, he made some fantastic plays, but he never messed up the routine play. He just didn't ever mess up the routine play. And that's what you want out of a shortstop. And you don't always appreciate it while it's there, but looking back how important he was and how meaningful he was to this franchise.
Scott, tonight is his Wall of Fame induction. What I don't know if I've ever asked you, what's your thought on his chances to one day get a bigger one, which is in Cooperstown?
Yeah.
I always thought... part of the reason why I think he's struggled to get more of the votes so far is he played in an era of amazing shortstops. So maybe at the time he jockeyed between the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, but that's just because they had, you know, there was A-Rod, right? There was Tejada, was Garcia Parra. Like that wasn't really because he wasn't a great player. I thought it almost overshadowed how great Jimmy was. He has gotten a little bit of traction, but not a big amount. What do you think about his chances to one day make the Hall of Fame?
To me, you look at some of the other guys that are in, you know, I think when Larkin went in, I think that to me was like, oh yeah, well, Jimmy could definitely make it, right? If Barry Larkin could. And Barry Larkin's a heck of a player, and I think Jimmy's numbers stand up to what Larkin did. And again, Jimmy has all the other things. He's got a ring, he's got, you know, MVP, he did everything that you need to do. He has gold gloves, he has all the hardware that go along with it. I know he played in an era where there were a lot of, you know, really good shortstops, but he was one of the best, and he was one of the most consistent, and he did it for a long, long time. So I think the chances are still there. For Jimmy, I think it's something that, I don't know if it'll be the first go around, but, I think it's one of those things where there's still definitely a chance for him.
Yeah, and it's going to be a special weekend, special night tonight with Jimmy Rollins and with Ed Wade. We get to see some new Phillies in a big series against Tigers. Scott, we'll be listening. Enjoy the weekend. And we'll especially be locked into that game tomorrow with Wheeler and school. Maybe a preview of game one of the World Series. Scott, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys. Talk to you next week.
Scott Fransky.
The best of interviews on Sports Radio 94 WIP.